Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. Greeting, greeting. This is Baba Wetapa, Father of Many Nations, Brother Michael Washington, right here in Oklahoma City, where I'm your host with the most, my co-host. Your boy is not here yet, but however, she will be here pretty soon. So y'all listen to the music of Coolin' the Gang, and we'll be right back where we'll have your stories, our stories, and everybody's stories that matter. We'll be right back. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. This is, again, Baba Wetapa, Father of Many Nations, right here in Oklahoma City. Oh, man, I don't know what it is tonight, but wow. I tell you what, Iblis, the devil, Shaitan, is definitely working tonight. Guess what? I'm not able to log in and allow any of my guest hosts to make a comment tonight. However, we haven't given up yet. We're definitely going to fight this thing to the finish. You know, we're going to let whatever interferences think they can interfere with us. They have another thing coming, so y'all bear with me. And we're definitely going to be able to try to get your voices heard, and hopefully that some of y'all can still hear me now. Again, I'm sorry. Again, it's not my fault, but we're just going to make sure that your voices are heard through what I have to say, if nothing else. And I'll tell you, we're going to straighten this out, though. All right, everybody. Thank y'all again. So y'all please hang on with me. Bear with me because we're definitely going to try and straighten it out. Tonight's show, we are talking about a brother, Santiago Acoli, who is released from prison after 49 years serving time for a 1973 murder of a police officer. And we, again, are here to really give praise and honor to this wonderful black revolutionary and former Black Panther Party member. He, again, was definitely a political prisoner after having served that much time, and we know basically for the most part that is why he was in prison for as long as he was. And what a slap in the face, a disrespect, a disregard that the Party and Parole Board there in New Jersey have the audacity to say, well, we're going to deny him one more time to make parole because Brother Sandiata was a threat to society, even though he's now 85 years old. Can y'all believe that? I'll tell you what, are we around some wicked folks or not? This is very, very wicked, very, very untrue, very unjust, but we're definitely going to deal with it on a daily basis because, again, this brother here was truly an icon to most, especially to me. I respect, honor, and am blessed to have run across revolutionaries like himself and others who are long gone and those who are still amongst us. So I want to take this time here very briefly and talk a little bit about the brother, his importance to society, as well as how he has paved the way for a lot of us, a lot of black revolutionaries, who in turn are thankful that he was even able to have graced us with his presence. Now that he's 85 years old, he has dementia right now, and he's going to be living with his daughter up there in New Jersey. So, again, we just think that we give God the praise and glory for recognizing this truly remarkable brother who has done so much for society as a whole. So, again, we want to thank all of y'all for tuning in tonight. Again, please bear with me. We are straightening this thing out. So bear with me and don't give up because we're definitely going to work it out. All right, now. Y'all stay with me. Tonight, let me tell you a little bit about, if I could, about this brother, Santiago Acoli. That's the name of Acoli. Well, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about what happened this fateful night. It was in 1973, around 12:45 a.m., when the brother was riding in a car along with Asada Shakur, as y'all know, this beautiful sister who's right now in exile, for allegedly taking part in this murder of this police officer, who in turn, with another police officer, was tailing them based upon an alleged taillight being out. Okay. Well, and that's according to them, they're supposed to be exceeding the speed limit as well. Okay, now that's always the excuse, especially when you're dealing with Black Panther people, or people who are making a difference in society and somebody that they can't control or make afraid of them. So we already know what the real deal on that was. Again, y'all, we want to take our hat off to this beautiful brother for having the courage and wisdom to have hung out all this time, y'all, all this time, and still not have given up. Y'all got to bear with me. I'm kind of being distracted because I'm trying to get y'all on here, but for some reason or another, this thing's not acting right. I definitely have a few people who definitely want to get on. Even my co-hosts can't get on tonight, and that's because of what's going on here today as well. I don't know. Usually we wouldn't have a problem with this, but it seems like to me now we do. So I wonder what's up. Y'all hang on. Yeah, I just. Y'all, please bear with me. I'm trying to fix it, and as well as talk to y'all together. And guess what? We're going to make it happen, so y'all don't give up. We got a few of y'all on the line, so please, again, bear with me. And we're getting ready to get it here. I think my station manager said in about 3 or 4 more minutes, so I'm not going to say too much again. I want to make sure that you all getting abreast of what I'm trying to say here. So thank y'all very much. Oh, I think we're getting ready to click it on. I think I'll be able to get Sister Mayette, my co-host, on tonight. She's probably going to be mad at me. I'm sure. I hope I got some witness on him, because I ain't going to let her get me. All righty, y'all. All right. I think we're going to get it now. Sister Mayette, how are you? Are you on now?
Ashe, I am on now. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I tell you what, them devils sure trying to stop a mean, very
revolutionary
show we got tonight. Wow. They sure are trying to try it out there, man. They some devils or something else, man. Out of all the time, we've never had a problem with getting our guests on anything, but all of a sudden tonight.
Yep.
Now, you know,
this night we've been on. We had minor technical difficulties a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, we were able to fix it, but, you know, when people are on their agenda of taking down exactly what would, you know, feed the people,
yes,
and, you know, educate the people and push people,
yes,
you know, forward, they want to stop that and they want to be a hindrance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But
guess what, we
didn't give up, and guess what? We're working it out. So regardless of what they think about it, again, I see some of you others on the show with us, and for the most part, I want to give y'all praise and honor and for having the patience here. Again, I think we got it worked out now. I don't know. Hopefully, the rest of you who are on the show tonight, I see 3 or 4 more of you on there. Hopefully, that y'all are able to get in and, again, give your parting shots as well. So, again, I recognize a couple of number of Brother Curtis Mullins. He's on here. Brother, can you hear me, Curtis?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I want him. And then I think his sister Sparkle, is that you? I don't know if it's you or not. I kind of remember that number. I don't know, hers, and then some other brother I don't recognize. Anyhow, they'll get on. I'm sure they probably get on since both of you two. Okay, Sister Mayette, we're going to get here very briefly off into what we was talking about earlier. I was trying to keep it so it wouldn't be so boring. But let me say, y'all, again, we're talking about Brother Santiago Alcoli. He was now 85 years old. He was released from prison recently and serving 49 years in a New Jersey prison for the 1973 killing of a trooper who said he was trailing him along with his officer partner in another vehicle for a taillight being out, as well as speeding around the turnpike in New Jersey, near New Jersey, Brunswick, New Jersey. Okay? So the brother now is 85 years old. Now, as I was telling you, he's a very brilliant, very wise, and very remarkable young, at that time, 36-year-old brother. Now he's, again, 85. Now he has dementia, and the Pardon and Parole Board in New Jersey claimed that they were going to deny him once again an access to be released on parole because they felt that he was still a threat and might harm someone else. Yet, they already understand that he has dementia, that he's 85 years old now. Are you kidding me, man? Can barely say a few words here to the wise after so many years now. Barely able to walk, and now he's going to be living with his daughter and his grandchildren. And thank God that you had a New Jersey Superior Court saying, hold up. Y'all failed to show where this man was going to continue to be a threat to society if you release him. So we're going to overrule y'all. We're going to let him out. So it goes to show y'all, again, the mindset of our black revolutionary warriors today who are attacked and vilified even in their waning years. So what is this telling y'all, man? That these people here have a very, very unique hatred for anybody who stands up and challenges the status quo. Now, our beautiful sister, Asada Shakur, right today, who's still in Cuba, was also a companion in the car, and she was wounded, as well as Brother Zayed Malik Shakur, okay? Those three were riding on the New Jersey Turnpike when these officers pulled up. So, again, we're going to be talking about Asada Shakur this coming Saturday to show you a connection here, so we're not going to say very too much about her tonight, other than enough, because we definitely want to show everybody that these revolutionary warriors will not be left behind. They will be given status. They will be given recognition. And they will go down as heroes in our books. So, Sister Mayette, give me a little bit of opportunity and tell me what you think about what I said so far on that.
You know, it really makes me upset to hear that, even though it's beautiful the fact that he is out and is able to spend his years in, you know, with his family and surrounded by people that love him after being locked up for so long. One big thing to me that makes me upset, and they do this crap to us. They do this crap to us all the time. They release us after the fact, years and years and years and years and years after the fact, instead of seeing, you know, what needs to be done and doing it right away. Their agenda is still going on. You know what I mean? And they wait until, the quote-unquote person is not a threat anymore. It's not a threat. It's a threat to tear down this system that you have built up to keep us in, to keep us in this dormant stage that you want to keep us in. So, you know, it's a good thing that he's with his family now, but it saddens me and pisses me off, and I'm going to say it that way because it really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
They took away so many years away from this man's life, you know, for just standing up for what is right, you know. I mean, believing in us, you know, our people, you know what I mean, creating and producing good stuff in the community. And I live this same type of lifestyle, so it touches me a lot harder than the average person that is not connected to an organization that wants, you know, freedom, you know what I mean? Wants our people to be free, wants our people to be independent. So it hits a little bit harder for me because I'm living that same exact lifestyle as these revolutionaries that have gone before me, you know what I mean? So that's my intake.
All right. You're definitely on point, and we want to thank you for that comment because, I mean, you said basically what a lot of us wants to say and didn't know how to say it, and a lot of us now can appreciate it that much more. So thank you for that. Let me say that Brother Syed Shakur, he was killed, during a shootout. And, again, the officer who was shot dead for meddling these black revolutionaries at that time, y'all got to realize, man, they killed us on the drop of time back then. They didn't have no law saying what you can or couldn't do. If a police officer shot you, you were shot. And, as a matter of fact, the same thing is going on with our brother Mami Abu-Jamal from Philadelphia that we talked about. We're going to be talking about those revolutionary brothers as well more and more and more as we go along. So, again, the sister Shada Shakur, she was wounded. And, again, the officer was killed with his own revolver. So, obviously, he did something should not have been done, or he would be here today. I'm standing with my brothers, proud, strong, and my sister, regardless of what anybody thinks. You're not going to divide and conquer me. Curtis, tell me about what you think about what's going on.
I remember very well the night that he left New York. I didn't see him. I didn't see him with a soda, but I was over by the Black Panther Party headquarters when he when he left. The thing that bothers me more than anything is that the political and the religious community is hiding.
Yes.
The Congressional Black Caucus, all of those organizations, they should be coming out and defending not only that brother, but all those other brothers. He's got brothers that's been in jail for 35, 40 years who only knew about the Black Panther Party. You know, I spent a year in jail for coming out and supporting the Black Panther Party. And what they had done when they came into my house, when they came into my house and killed me. And a whole heap of people have been in jail for years on top of years that were just members of the Black Panther Party. And I got some pictures of some brothers who were assassinated by the Black Panther Party. Now, these black congressional and political leaders, they ain't demanding a full investigation of what went on during that period. Because if they did a full investigation of what went on during that period, they could open people's eyes to the treatment that was going on in the African American community during that time.
Yeah.
But they don't want to do that because they're being paid. Neocolonialism is rampant in African American communities. And the Mossad does the dirty work for Congress. They investigate and turn over information to the government about people in the community that we live in today. You don't hear nothing about the political prisoners today in Washington D.C. That's a big thing. It's a big thing in the world today. I mean, you look what's going on in Herzegovina and Russia. You know, the people knew a little bit more. Knew more about what happened in Russia during that trip. In Herzegovina, I think I'm pronouncing the name right.
Herzegovina and then Ukraine, definitely.
Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Ukraine. As people knew a little bit more about what was happening in Ukraine, they might have a different picture. But there's a book up written by a Jew that tells you about what's going on, what was going on in Ukraine during that period. The Mossad was moved into Israel, and they moved them into Herzegovina. Is that the name of that place? Moved them.
All right. Let me say something right here, though, while we're at it. I want to get back on track here because, like I said, we got people online and lines are buzzing up here. So I was trying to want to get back. Let me say this, then you could cut back in a minute. I see some others on here. Now I do recognize, I think, Sister Sparkle just jumped on, and I don't know, 202 again. Whoever don't want to speak, you don't have to, but then we're just letting anybody. You know how we do. We just open the floor up. I'll say a few words, Sister. May I say a few words, whatever, and you know, we give it to the floor, and then we may break in, say here and there. But again, y'all, this is y'all radio show. This is Baba We Topper right here in Oklahoma City, along with my co-host, me, your boy. And we are here, your host with the most. For your ideas, your thoughts, and interviews, and all that counts. It's no right or wrong. If you feel like we should be eating chicken tonight, I'm not going to say I want steak or hamburger. Now, I can cook my own, really. But I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong, because everybody has their own idea, their own opinion. So, again, don't be followed by mine. And I definitely, me, I certainly don't want you to be followed by hers. But we're going to stick to the guns by what we believe in. I don't always agree with her. She don't always agree with me. But at the same time, we know how to disagree and be agreeable when we do it. Again, we talk about Brother Santiago Coli, who is released from prison after 49 years in a New Jersey unconstitutional prison setting for the 1973 murder of a trooper in New Jersey, just outside of Brunswick, New Jersey, right here. We're talking about it tonight, and the brother was recently released, and he was released after having served 49 years for that 1973 killing. And at the same time, Asada Shakur, my beautiful sister, who has been on a run ever since that time, is now living in Cuba. We're going to be talking about her and her situation. She was also there with him that night. And we're going to be talking about her this coming Saturday. We're going to keep the revolution rolling and rolling and rolling. We're going to keep the revolution rolling and rolling and rolling. So we're going to make sure that everybody knows about the powerful rendition of this beautiful sister and her revolutionary stance. Again, we've had very, very revolutionary and beautiful sisters who have gone on and who are some with us today, and again, we greatly give our hats and praise to her for that reason. So again, y'all, and then Brother Saeed Malik Shakur was killed on the scene, and one of the other officers who was there also was shot, but he was able to survive, and Sister Asada Shakur herself was wounded during that shootout. So again, now we're going to talk about, I don't know if you want to say a word or not, Sister Sparkle, if you're on. I mean, I definitely know this is something that touches your heart as well. Again, we're just opening the floor to anybody who has something to say tonight because, again, y'all, we know we got an hour and a half. We're just going to have fun until it's time to go. Is that you, Sparkle? If not, then I see a 202 number. I don't know what that one is. If y'all don't want to talk, I mean, it's on y'all. Definitely, it's wide open. So, y'all, anybody got something to say? And if not, I will continue on, and then y'all just cut me off. As we go, we'll get back to my yacht, and maybe we'll keep the ball rolling from that point. So let me say just a little bit more about who this brother was before he became the revolutionary. Brother coli is, his maiden name is Clark Edward Squire. He's a former member of the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army. Again, as y'all know, at that particular time, blacks were targeted by the white supremacist government, and also they gave the premises and permission by deputizing white supremacist Ku Klux Klan members and white citizens' councils like that there. And at that particular time, man, they were infiltrating our church, our black churches, our black organizations, our black schools, and anything that had to anything with the term black in front of it. Okay? He began serving the sentence again in 1973 for the killing of that state trooper. Now, I want everybody to know here, and then I'm going to give y'all the floor. I want to ask this question here. Do y'all think that the brother, even though a lot of you may not know about him, based upon what I just said to you, and based upon the version of the police's statement, we got one sister again, Asada Shakur, who's still in Cuba, who, as they know, they're trying to pay to get her back. Again, brother Zayed was murdered, now by the police, during that particular shootout. And guess what? Now we have a brother who's 85 years old, who naturally the council passed him by. He's got dementia now. Can anybody tell me, do y'all think it was justified in keeping that brother in there for 39 doggone years, man, after 85 doggone, and being 85 years old, failing in memory and health declining, has cancer? Can y'all tell me, was they justified in trying to deny him the part and throw aboard his release? What, in other words, Miyat, what was the justification for that?
Anything that they've done, you know what I mean? However long that they had him in there, you know what I mean? They do that all, like I told y'all earlier, they do that crap all the time. And they're not justified for anything that they do. They can't even back that up, you know what I mean, and say, oh, well, he was a threat. It sounds stupid, you know what I mean? It sounds like, you know, we're just trying to convince people that he is a threat. Let's say it so many times, and let's not bring it up in the light. Because we know we're wrong, and we know what we're doing, but can't nobody stop us because they don't have the power nor the money to stop us. So, yeah, they are not justified for anything that they do, and they know that. And everyone else that knows, that is aware of it, you know, we don't have the numbers to push them, you know what I mean, to call when, you know, he was denied. We didn't have the numbers. We didn't have the strength at the time to push that, you know, but now we do, and we have to stand up for our political prisoners. We just have to make sure that they don't end up in the same situation our ancestors did, our former leaders of the Black Panther Party. You know, we have to stand behind them now because we have the strength and we have the knowledge now that we need to fight that, and we just need to do it, period.
All right, I'll say. That is very, very much. So let me tell y'all now, as you just said, my answer, you was so clearly, and I'm going to rehash it for people who were not on the show who did begin with. Again, we have the phone line lit up. We're going to have some more questions coming from them as well. You said clearly, I understood you without question, that they put us in prison and rob us of our youth. Get us so old to where we washed up and no longer even useful as far as they would think to advance our revolutionary ideas, walk around the corner with our grandkids, go to the store and throw the children in there, whatever we want to do, okay? So it's a way of punishing those of us who would dare go against the status quo and this white supremacist system that is calculated for the most part of forcing us to remain docile and refusing to stand up firmly and be encountered for our unique skin pigmentation. So now we're saying to you and everybody that's listening today, the brother here had been denied parole all the way up to 1993, yeah? Now I want y'all to think about that. Again, for the first degree murder, and he was sentenced with life without the possibility of parole. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is that regardless of what he was sentenced to, they have to realize that even the Supreme Court, the New Jersey Superior Court, released him based upon the pardon and parole board failing to show that he would be a threat. But I want everybody to listen to me right quick, and y'all give me some feedback on this. How can y'all, for the most part, say that this black revolutionary, this former Black Panther, this former Black Liberation Army member, is a threat to society to justify not allowing him to be out? And a lot of those people who ruled it against him on the foreign and parole board wasn't even born when he allegedly did this killing and shooting. Now, let me say something to y'all. Y'all might say I'm prejudiced or biased. I don't care what you say. Those a lot of you know here, I know some of you gonna agree with me. How do we know that your brothers and sisters were not about to be attacked when their car was pulled over? How do we know a taillight was out? How do we know they were speeding? Are we supposed to just take the account that was printed in the newspaper? Brother Curtis said, tell me about that. Are we supposed to take that and run with it? What's going on with it?
Well, what's going on is that they don't have to have no reason to stop your car on the turnpike or out on the street. Look at what's been happening here in the last 2 years. Pregnant women coming out of the grocery store been accused of stealing a loaf of bread and shot in the belly by these crackers. The murder of that boy by Zimmerman, Hispanic Negro passing for white, shooting that boy and killing him. All these murders is taking place right now.
That's right.
By white supremacists. All of them have been freed by jury systems made up of Hispanic mulatto Negroes passing for white, knowing that they're going to be found not guilty. When you have a situation where it's almost guaranteed that the district attorney is going to be guaranteed a jury of the people that be making judgment on you, people that listen to anything because of their ignorance and capable of coming back with guilty verdicts. All of these guilty verdicts that's been coming back, the murder of black people.
Absolutely. But I want to ask you, do you think they were justified in coming up with this crazy theory, an 85-year-old brother suffering dementia that everybody has already known and they want to be so gladly to put it out in the public as a way of slapping him in his face? I'm asking you, was it justified for them no good trash white supremacist co-collaborators, were they justified in delaying letting this man out of all this time, though, man? I mean, when is enough? This is what I want to say.
Well,
y'all, we need political prisoners up out of these prisons, man. Bottom line.
Look at Rochelle St. Hugh McGee.
Brother Michelle, I know about all my brothers. Yeah, I know, but I was revolutionary back then, brother, man, in my 20s. I'm 64. Go ahead, talk to me. Keep talking.
He's been in jail for almost 60 years, and he was not guilty, and they still holding on to him until we
That's what I'm getting at, brother.
Until we develop the machinery to go inside of these places. Bring them out like that girl did when Asana Shakur went inside at the penitentiary and brought her out and saw her get to Cuba. We're going to be marking time. The need to develop the machinery, the people, the revolutionary people, to stop this madness in its track. And I think we are on our way to that. Today, this is every moment, the African American people are sick and tired of seeing their wives and their daughters and their sons
sick and tired
buried.
Of being sick and tired. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They're sick and tired of seeing they members of their families murdered and their homes and their families destroyed. I think that we're coming to the point where there's going to be an explosion. And once that explosion occurs...
It's already happening.
Yeah. Ain't nobody going to be able to put it back together again. It's difficult even for me to explain. But once that explosion occurs, once that that resistance get to the point where there's almost automatic responses to the murder of people's children,
that we're going
to be marking time. But I think that it's coming to that point now that the whole world is getting ready to explode. And they're using every political gimmick they can put their hands on to try to tap it down. Neocolonialism is the tool that they use against us, you know? And Ghana and in, especially in Nigeria, where they've perfected the tool of neocolonialism, they done put them people, got them people walking backwards, man. Somebody get killed over there by the police. They give them $1,000 just to be quiet. Here they make it $1 million, you know.
Yeah.
And they quiet, you know.
Well, so let me ask. I don't know. Again, if, let me tell y'all. First of all, our beautiful sister Sparkle again tells us that she hears us, but she for some reason or another is unable to get her voice through. And again, y'all, as y'all know, we had this problem starting off. Again, we're going to definitely look into this after this show is over with. But right now, we're going to ask her to continue to stay on the line with us. She says she can hear us very clearly. Again, that's awful strange. Well, we can't get her in here, though. So I don't know. Again, it's some technical difficulty. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen this coming Saturday. Now, what do you want to bet? Again, we're going to be talking this Saturday about our beautiful sister, Asada Shakur, who right now is held up in Cuba and the United States right now. Listen to this carefully, y'all. The United States right now has a reward out for the sister through the FBI. Guess what? There is a $2 million reward for the capture of our sister, Asada Shakur, who herself was shot in the arm, bleeding badly, and who made the point clear, hey, I did not, during the hearing, I did not kill this officer. And guess what? This officer is trying to kill us, and therefore there was a shootout. And I'm saying to myself, for her, it was rather them than me. Bottom line. We want everybody to know this. Again, our beautiful sister, Sparkle, she's on the other end. But I'm definitely communicating with her while I'm talking to y'all as well as through Facebook. So I want to let her know that any questions you may want to ask or any comments you may want to say, I may have to do that for her. But again, her voice will be heard, so even if it has to go through a third party. Hey, y'all, talk to me about it. Now, what's up with it? I mean, how do we break this cycle of false imprisonment and political prisoners? How do we release our brothers and sisters about this madness?
I mean, we're in this technology era now, and it's more and more people are getting smarter when it comes to recording and technology. We have to use their own things that they put out here, you know, against them. You know what I mean? We have to be on top of it in order to make sure we have documentation of what's going on. We have to know our laws, we have to know what we can and cannot do in order to protect ourselves. That's the only way to fight this, you know what I mean, and to stand up and not sit down, because in that same scenario, it applies to a lot of stuff that goes on today, you know, where we have to defend ourselves against people that we put in leadership or put in positions to so-called say they are protecting us. And now everybody's being exposed, you know, openly, and now cases are being filed, things are being looked at. So we have to, you know, be vigilant. We have to be, we have to make sure that we stay on top of our own self-protection, you know, self-preservation, you know, because they are here to make sure that we do not, you know, make sure we don't succeed, that we don't make it.
You know what? Go ahead. Somebody wants to speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Cortez. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, ask a question. About, you know, did I think it was justified for the brother? No, I do not. Is it justified for Sister Asada? Asada? No, it's not. This is the game that they play, you know. And the thing that we need to do, if we all discuss, know, all that kind of stuff. We can do that, but it's gonna be on a continuum, you know. And I don't have a life to see this stuff keep occurring to our people. You know what I'm saying? So my take on it is that we abolish the whole system and rebuild our own, because we know that every constitution says, you know, that the people is at the top of every constitution. The power belongs to the people. So it's going to take the people to change it, which means us.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The people. So we're going to have to do it ourselves. We can't wait for them to do it because they don't care. We see that. You know what I'm saying? So when everybody's talking,
yeah,
all these movements and all these revolutionaries and revolutionaries, you know, talking about what they're going to do and what could happen or whatever, if they don't stop voting and giving power to these people that they think they're going to help them, but they're steady shooting us down like dogs, we're going to get more the same. We're going to get more the same. So I say abolish the whole system. They hide behind qualified immunity, you know, the color of law and all that, and they get away with these things. You know what I'm saying? And really, we have to hold ourselves accountable for that, because we participate in that system when we don't have to.
Mm.
With that,
Hey, woo!
Yes,
well, I'll tell you what, you absolutely, you know what, y'all, did y'all hear what she just said? And Sis Robs, I'm glad you were able to get on. I don't know what that heck was.
Can y'all hear me?
Technically,
okay.
We're working it out.
Go
ahead. Come on, Brother Bomani. Hey, Brother Bomani, I see the wave.
Salute.
Come on, talk to me, man. What's going on? Talk to me.
Power to the people is what's going on. Yes, indeed. I totally agree with the sister 1,000%. That we consent to the bullshit, which is the problem. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kanye West was actually right when he said that we, about the slavery thing. We accepted it. We chose slavery. We chose not to stand up and fight back. We chose to lay down and go along to get along. And those that didn't are the ones who are responsible for the ending of it. That's why slavery ended, because the people that resisted. But there was a lot of people who didn't resist. So I'm glad that we had revolutionaries all throughout our history. And I'm glad
Amen.
We still got revolutionaries like Brother Washington. I mean, we have so many nowadays, but it's the world is so more high-tech now. You know, things have changed, but so much has changed, and yet things are still the same. The fact that we have the say-so, but yet we ain't saying nothing worth hearing. You know, we got all these microphones now. You know, everybody's a rapper, but they ain't rapping about nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody's a celebrity, but they ain't worth celebrating.
Mm.
So we got to have some people that have some admirable qualities, something that's of substance that we can look up to and emulate, that's going to better us as people and us as a people. You know, that's something we got to understand. We got to have a vision. You know, we don't have a lot of people to point to and say, you know, that's what we need more of. We have entertainers that are being held up to us as the ideal of what we should be. And I find that to be troublesome, that we are only given entertainers to look up to, you know.
Wow.
We have a few businessmen that, you know, now they've turned over from rappers to businessmen that are held up as the ideal. But where are our power brokers? Where are our men and women of substance that, you know, can speak the will of the people and organize the people on a grassroots level and organize us to govern ourselves and protect each other? What happened to that class of man and woman, the Mary Lou Farmers, the Sojourner Truths, you know, the Ida B. Wells, these leaders, the sisters who were leaders, and then the brothers, you know, we know that they were murdered, they were assassinated, you know, and our women were murdered and assassinated right along with them. They were lynching men and women. They didn't just lynch men. So they practiced terrorism on our people for a long time, and that's what happened. Fear. Fear was planted deep inside of us. But love is the only thing that's going to overcome fear. So we got to love ourselves enough to be able to stand up to whatever comes around and handle the business anyways, in spite of the fear. Love is what we got to promote. love of self and love of kind and love of life.
Let me take one break, brother. I got to take a break. I'm not going to get off the air, though. I've already got that clear with our station. Instead of taking a break here, I'll just have to make a few announcements, and then we can continue to roll on. So hold that call right
now. Handle your business. Handle your business.
Again, now, again, y'all, we are talking about Brother Sundiata Kolei, who is released from prison after serving 49 years. That is the broadcast tonight. I am here, your host with the most, with my co-host, Mayotte, our beautiful sister, Mayotte Uwobe, right here in Oklahoma City. We're doing it, too. Thing to make sure that we as an audience know that our true revolutionaries will not have died in vain, and that we're going to recognize them for the great qualities, the great strengths and stability that they have. And today we're talking about, again, our brother who has been released after serving 49 years in New Jersey prison for a 1973 killing of a police officer and wounding another, and one of the brothers with him, Zaid Malik Shakur, was killed in the process of that murderous situation. Now, I'm asking all of you once again, how do we know? Listen carefully. Y'all know how the news media is. Y'all know how mainline media does and radio and television. How do we know that these brothers were not ambushed along with Asada Shakur, who we're going to be talking about next Saturday? We're going to give her a spotlight. That's why I'm not really mentioning much about her yet, because we're going to make that be the climactic part of what we're talking about tonight. Again, we cannot talk about a subject like this here without talking about our beautiful sister who's been in exile since this occurred in 1973. And again, there is a $2 million bounty on her head. Now, you tell me what a flagrant disregard. And Angela Davis said best, we are the revolutionaries that the revolutionaries depend upon. Wow, now that is deep.
Amen.
So, again, we want to get back to brother if you want to have a few more words, and then we're going to move around. Brother Bomani, well, again, we had Baba Witapa right here at People Power Radio, where we're your hosts with the most. Brother, go ahead on, Bomani. What were you want to pick back up where you were?
Thank you, Baba. And peace to you, Sister Ma. Yes. You two are definitely putting that work out there. Y'all putting that work out there. I see evidence of the work that you all are doing out there, and I'm impressed. You all are making a lot of noise. I hear you way over here. Actually, somebody brought you all to my attention about the brother who got shot at the college up there. And, I look at his you. I said, they don't even know that I know that this is my big brother right here. But the fact is, the love that you have that motivates you to do that is what we need to spread. That's what's going to solve these problems is love. You know, overcomes fear.
And we're doing
love
it, like
overcomes
I said,
fear.
You doing it from your end, sisters. Sparkle doing it from her end. Mayotte, you boy, like I say, man, we kick it every night. We kick it daily. And if one of us ain't saying something to somebody, if it's been a day, hey, what's up? You all right? Do I need to come? What's going on? You hear me? I mean, we got to be real with this, man. You don't let your sister or brother go a day or two without saying hi, at least waving at them.
I know that's right.
Because
and there's another
the
thing.
Yeah.
There's
talk
one
to
more
me
thing.
The community
has to back us. They have to come and show support. And that's the one thing about the brothers and sisters who have been captured as political prisoners.
Hmm.
We, as a community, abandoned them. We let them grow old in these penitentiaries. A lot of them have died. So we have to respect and honor the sacrifice that they made and at least support them. You know, I was thinking, what's the brother's Dr. Matula Shakur. He's always been my favorite. I remember when Tupac was rapping about him, I started writing him letters.
Oh,
I wrote him a letter back in like 92, 93, something like that, when I first found out about him.
Yes, sir.
So we have to get our children involved to make sure that they understand what has happened and what's going on and what they must pay respect to and stand up for. So we got to pass it on. We got to encourage our brothers and sisters in the community to support those who support them. And I'll land there.
All right.
I didn't want to add to that, Michael. And you're totally right. You're 100% right on that, because this generation, I can only speak for, you know, after me, they don't know half of anything about our history, about the Black Panther Party, about, you know, the revolution as a whole. and I know exactly what, you know, their agenda, you know, for our youth is to keep, you know, to take more and more information from them about us.
All right.
Eventually, it's not going to be barely any history about us in any type of school, you know, whether it
wow.
be it's barely surviving in our predominantly black schools. They're even washing the schools out, you know what I mean? So that's why I just, you know, when I talk to, you know, youth, young black spirited youth, and even the ones that really don't show any interest in it, I still bring it up, you know what I mean, and tell them about it. And I let them know the importance of knowing this information, because one day it's not going to be accessible to us. You know what I mean? And that's the way it's turning slower, you know, slowly and slowly and slowly over time. You know, the information that you guys got in you guys' youth, because y'all are much older than me, even my generation was starved out from even the misguided information, you know, that they, you know, put out here for us. So giving, you know, putting the power back into the people's hands is number one. You know what I mean? Is number one, because we cannot shift anything without the power being back into the people's hands. You know what I mean? And on top of that, giving our youth the education that they need. You know, they can teach them ABCs, 1, 2, 3, all this other stuff in school, geometry, all this, but they can't teach them about self. They're not going to teach them about self. You know what I mean? And they're even failing with teaching them even the basic geometry, English, math. Oh, they're still failing in that portion too. So it's up to the parents, you know, to parents, grandmothers, elders in the community, activists, revolutionaries, to get up off of their chairs and walk
get
the
up off
street.
Them.
Wherever you go, talk to these youth. You know what I mean? They're not going to be you know, whatever. You know what I mean? As is depicted out here in media, that they're all going crazy. And you know, no, most of them are in their own little world. Give them a dose of the knowledge and let it grow. Let them be curious about it and go find it for themselves. And if they ask questions, lead them in the right direction. And I feel like that's what we are lacking at as revolutionaries. We're not giving them the information. We're too worried about wearing the Pan-African flag without actually doing the work like our ancestors and the ones that came before us did. You know what I mean? I'm tired of seeing it, and I know a lot of us are sick of seeing it too. Let's not just wear the patches. Let's not just wear this RBG on us and not teach the youth and not give them the tools necessary to stand on their own 2 feet, because they deal with this stuff on an education, on a school level first. They're probably their first experience with racism is in a schoolhouse, you know, so they need to know about why, you know, why do they look at us like this? Why do they do this stuff to us? Why are they not teaching us about ourselves? Those things run in their heads, whether they vocalize it through their mouths or not. We need to stand up, and we need to put the power back into the people's hands. We need to educate our youth, get them ready for this that is coming ahead. What we're dealing with now is only a dose of the mess that we're going to have to deal with later on, and it keeps elevating over the years. Yes, we can flip from them. Yes, we can create our own. We can do all these things, but we have got to put it in the minds of the people of where we're going, where we came from, and what we're finna do. You know what I mean? Come up with a solid plan to combat whatever else is keeping us from getting to that point now. You know what I mean? So that's all I'd say to it.
Whoa!
You're absolutely right, sister. It begins in the house, you know.
Okay.
My father and my uncle were very heavily involved with my education, and they told me as a young man that ain't no woman ever had no baby without having no relationship with a man It ain't nobody ever won one. So when you realize the effect that the church has, excuse me, that the church has on these young men and young women's minds, they putting fear in them before they putting fighting in them. Like my father told me that you can kill the police in self-defense. That don't mean you gonna be tried and set off for it. But in self-defense, you can kill the police, you know. But that's a different legal term when you go to trial for it, you know. Like Asada and those two brothers, they were ambushed. And
No, go ahead. I said that's what my belief is. That's why I said what I said.
Yeah. And what I understand is what happened out there, and that cop was killed in the crossfire, that it was his partner who shot and killed him, you know? And the young lady, Marilyn Buck, that went inside of the penitentiary and brought Asada Shakur out. You don't tell me that wasn't an act of brilliance, how she planned and went through that and brought her out and saw that she was safe in Cuba. Yeah. You know, that was, and then many others like that. But we have had so much fear injected in us through the church and the neo-colonialist political backing by the Mossad, that's the Israeli intelligence agents, by the Mossad and how they created neo-colonialists in Ghana and got him killed, and it's been growing ever since. Neo-colonialism, hello? Hello?
Yeah. Can you, I can hear you.
Neo-colonialism is a tool that they are using. Neo-colonialism is a powerful tool that the system used. Capitalism has perfected and injected into the communities that we live in. Like they make what we think and how we live crime. So
we got
to break that down. We got to break that down. Resistance is what we have to develop, and resistance is what people are beginning to present to the system. Capitalism is a problem.
Capitalism, I tell you what, you're gonna experience
the degradation and the murder and the violence. But my father told me the only thing that's gonna stop these people from killing us is when we start to kill them. Now,
well, I mean, no way around it, brother.
You might think that to be negative. But
I don't.
The only reason they get away with killing us the way that they killing us is we letting them killing our mothers, raping our daughters, locking our children, our boys. I talk to people down here, over some of the young men, and they tell me, Mr. Mullins, my mother told me not to talk to you because if I talk to you, and I'm going to jail. And I'm quite sure that a lot of the children across this country, mothers telling their sons that, I don't want to come to visit you in jail. When you go and visit them in the cemetery, begin to stand up for what you believe in and what he protected in his household, it's a sad situation. But we got a little ways to go. But I just as sure as you got two holes in your nose, it's going this way. And once it clicks off, ain't nobody going to be able to stop what's going on.
I gotta interrupt. I got another break right here. But again, you can hold that thought very briefly. We get back. Okay, y'all, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the revolutionary struggle here in the United States of America. Next week, we're going to be doing a broadcast on our very lovely, beautiful sister who's been gone now for 49 years, a little bit plus, probably 50. And she's Asada Shakur. As we know, she was with the brother Sanjay Akola, who again was released on this month from a New Jersey prison, and we're going to be talking about her and her role in why she ran away from the United States to protect her life, as she already knew today. They're trying to assassinate her today as we speak. There's been all kind of kamikaze moves being made for her in Cuba. Again, she's been protected well by the government over there, which is, again, the United States is mad at Cuba. And they got the sanctions still going on as part of that. If you let her go, we'll lift some of the sanctions. But the Cuban government, I give y'all the respect and honor by saying to hell with that. She stays here, and you're not getting her back. So, again, we give them that reprieve. Again, after that show, we're going to be dealing with, after we deal with Sada Shakur, we're going to go and talk about our beautiful sister. Everybody knows her well. Sister Angela Davis, who was very instrumental in the early struggles of the Black Panther Party. As a matter of fact, she was also on trial for the slaughter of the judge and other party members in the killing in connection with Jonathan and George Jackson. Again, one of the other brothers, again, Rochelle McGee, that Brother Curtis also speaks about, was there at that particular time. So, again, y'all, we're going to be talking about our revolutionaries who did some in the cause. And then after Angela Davis, we're going to be talking about one of our renowned brothers who has met with a tragic death, and that is Brother Huey P. Newton. Again, y'all, we're going to bring these names back up because they are actually the ones that really gave us the fight, the power, the incentive, the need, and inspiration to do what we've been ready to do. So I'm getting ready to go give Curtis a few more minutes here, and then we're going to talk back and ask our sister, quiet lady back there, Sparkle Roberts. I don't know who she thinks she is. I ain't scared of her, but she's going to have to start saying something around it because we know her voice is powerful.
I'm sure if y'all can hear me or not.
Yeah, we can now.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier.
Okay. I just wanted to say, you know, first off, I'd like to say thanks to the legal team of Sundiata Okoli. I'd like to say thanks to all of the strong supporters that he had. I would like to say thanks to his beautiful, supportive family, first off, who stood beside him through all of this. But I can say that I am disappointed in the conscious community because I don't believe these political prisoners, well, they like to be called prisoners of war now. I don't believe that they get the that they should from the conscious community. Now, with that being said, we're talking about Sundiata Okoli, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's been in prison for over 49 years.
Wow.
He is a brilliant man. He's an artist. He has so much talent, it's not even funny. So while he was in prison, let's back up a little bit, because he was asked by the government to teach a class while he was in prison. He was teaching a class called critical thinking. We're talking
about someone
who has not had any disciplinary ticket in like 25 years of his stay there.
Oh.
Okay, in addition to dementia, in 2020, he had a bad battle with COVID-19 in prison as well. Okay, so throughout the legal briefs and all of that, you know, we learned that the parole board has violated the law in denying his most recent petition for release. Because he was technically eligible for parole 27 and 30 years ago. So my point that I want to drive home is that what they're doing to these caged elders and others, they're holding them because they can out of spite, out of vengeance for their association, what they're in association with, or had been freedom fighters, our veteran freedom fighters that are in the belly of the beast. We should be raising holy hell to get these men out and women out of prison who paved the way for us. Because without them, it would be no us.
Oh, no, I'm serious. Okay. You're right.
So, and that's how I feel about it. It's really disheartening because I just don't think we do enough. Case in point, I have sent petitions around for people to sign it for his release. Do you know people didn't even sign a petition?
Oh,
hundreds of people seen the petition. It never was signed. Okay?
Wow.
So we have to do better with organizing. We have to organize people. We have to, like Queen X was saying, we follow the laws of the land. We the people. We are the ones that make the call the shot. We the people. We have to take our position back. We have to take everything back from these people who mean us no good. Voting is not going to help. All
That's
of
right.
these systems or subsystems that are built to keep us oppressed is working. It's keeping us oppressed. The law, the legal system, your political system, the constitutional system, all of these systems are built to keep us oppressed. Now we have Roe versus Wade, and when if the Supreme Court get rid of that, then they can go back and get rid of any law that they made. So we in trouble.
They're getting ready to get rid of it. Are you getting ready for that?
Yeah, we in trouble. So we need to stop talking and put together plans of action. That's what it's about, action. And the term revolutionary, I need to see some revolutionary movement. You know what I'm saying? Because to be calling yourself a revolutionary, you need to do something revolutionary.
You got to get and do it. Oh, man, you can't just talk it. We got to walk along.
So that's pretty much what I want to say.
Wow.
I'm happy that it's catching on with the prisoners of war / political prisoners. It's catching on. So it's not a fact slowly but surely. We have to move because we are behind. We are so far behind, and we have to organize. And, you know, it begins with education. So if you don't read, if you don't pay attention to the news, if you don't reach out to these prisoners, if you don't contact the jail, if you don't do these things, you don't know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, you can't teach anybody anything. I don't care what position or title you have. If you are not teaching your people about these prisoners of war, they cannot be helped.
Wow.
They cannot be helped. So that's a big thing. Everybody wants to talk about who they are, what position I have, who I'm with. I don't care about any of that. Pick up a book, teach your kids, teach your communities, teach your other revolutionary brothers and sisters who these people are. Teach, and you can have the will to want to learn on your own. You know, you can ask questions. Talk to your elders. Talk to your grandparents. They know who these people are. These grandmothers and grandfathers walking around are a wealth of knowledge. They are libraries. Talk to them.
Right.
They know. Write letters to the political prisoners. The political prisoners have books. Read them. In the books, you'll learn what to do because they're telling you. The instructions is in the book.
I'll show you. Let me, y'all, we got about 19 minutes left. So I want to give everybody that two-minute round table. We're going to start with Brother Bomani and go down the list. And, Mayad, as you know, you'll be second to the last for me. Brother Bomani, you got 2.5 minutes. Go ahead. I'm going to have to time you now. So if I cut you off, don't feel bad. We're getting ready to get down.
I definitely want to say that revolutionaries, we don't vote, we revolt. So we're not talking about revolting. Stop calling yourself a revolutionary, number one. It's insulting for somebody to talk about voting and then turn around and talk about they're revolutionary. You're lying. You're not a revolutionary. You're a reformist. So get it right. Call yourself a reformist, not a revolutionary. Keep it 100. So you definitely got to teach the youth that we don't owe allegiance to our enemies. We are allegiance to our people who fought for us. And it's our duty to revolt against oppression. So we have to speak the truth to our youth. And we got to encourage them to resist, to be further colonized and further domesticated by our historical enemies. And those in our community who are neo-colonialists, the puppets, we got to get rid of them. There's no two ways about it. They got to be totally filleted. They got to be treated as the traitors they are. It has to be harsh, and it has to be done with no shame. Yes, we got to handle business. I mean, that's why we're not respected, because we won't handle those who betray us in our own communities. We let traitors, snitches, walk right by us.
Mm-hmm.
We sit there and coddle them, and that's the problem. where we're too scared to stand up and do what should have been done. And that's what we have to get back to. We got to take care of the business and take care of each other. And the first thing we got to do is teach our children to stop talking our business to our enemies.
Woo.
Don't let them go to school telling them people our business. Tell them, shut up. Yeah, don't allow your children to go telling your people nothing. And the abortion thing, 20 million black babies have been aborted in the last 50 years. That's a whole lot.
All right,
brother,
I got to cut you off right here now, brother. We're on the time schedule. We're getting ready to cut me off, so I'm trying to get everybody in. Appreciate it, though. Don't hang up. Go ahead, Brother Curtis. You know we got 2 minutes, brother. We got 2 minutes. So get ready to cut us off.
Yeah.
I want to have a last parting shot. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah. Neocolonialism is the tool of the socioeconomic system capitalism. They are converting Negroes to be cowards.
Wow.
I'm going to give you an example. The president, the leader, the head of the South Korean bank name. Hold on a second. The head of the Bank of South Korea name was Max Cohen. Back in the 60s and 70s, they sent him to Jamaica to create a political organization amongst Jamaicans. He was very successful in what he did. He had Jamaicans killing each other. He organized the drug dealers and sent them to the United States and African American communities and supplied them with heroin and cocaine. I'm talking about Max Cohen. That was his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was the head of the South Korean bank. He put people in charge of Jackie Robinson's bank on Fulton Street, Brooklyn, New York. He put Jamaicans in charge of it. And before long, the bank was bankrupt and had to close it down. African Americans had control of it. It was a very viable and successful bank. I'm telling you about the people that Max Cohen trained. They're very proud of Max Cohen.
I got to cut y'all right there. I don't mean no harm, y'all, but I got to cut us off because you're in the cold. All right, sister Sparkle, let her in, Brother Curtis. I got, like I said, we're at the end of the show. Go ahead, Sister Sparkle.
Okay.
Hold on, everybody. Go ahead, have something.
I love
this
you, man.
Queen. Hello?
Oh, hello. Go ahead. We hear you. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is Queen Peck. I just wanted to add a little value, you know, as far as, you know, educating our people, you know what I'm saying, sharing the knowledge, you know, planting the seed about the revolution, you know, because the revolution has changed. We really need to get in tune with these young people, you know, get into their heads. You know, we cannot be, you know, let these foreigners to this land tell us what to do. We got to stop that. They're foreigners. So we need to ask them for their immigration cards and so forth. We need to, you know, tell them they got to go.
Yeah. Hey, man, go ahead, since you can take another minute or two. Because like I said, it's Queen, go ahead. Because I'm sorry, I looked at the number. I didn't realize it. Go ahead on. Take another extra 2 minutes here. You can take part of mine. Go ahead on.
Going back to school, you know, start children with education and stuff like that. I know here in Ohio where I live, you know, they make kids wear uniforms. And they have the doors slammed real loud when the school doors shut. You know, you got to bud yourself in and put the doors slammed real hard behind you. They just conditioning them for that, you know, prison system, you know what I'm saying, that behind the walls bullshit. But we got to tell them what it's all about. You know what I mean? So we have to change the paradigm. We have to change it. It's up to us to do it. We can't wait to do it. For us, we have to do it for ourselves. With that idea,
thank you
so much.
Oh, I'll say, like I said, don't leave y'all, because like I said, we still have about 4 or 5 minutes to do, but I just wanted to get y'all parting shots in. That way you can go in and speak or whenever you get ready. But let me say, at 202, I still have recognized you. Is that you, Mr. Well, too, you don't have to speak, but I'm just letting you know we recognize you. We don't want to disregard anybody. All right, Sister Uncle, go ahead and take your two, and then we'll get rounded out with Sister Mayat and myself, and then we have about 2 or 3 minutes left, y'all. Go ahead, Sister Sparkle. Sparkle, you not? Not there. All right, now, was that you, Sister Queen X302?
No, that's Daniel 302.
Okay, Daniel, come on, speak to me. You got 2 minutes. Come on, brother. I've been trying to.
All righty. Thank you. First, I want to thank you for the programming that you do. I want to thank all the participants. My name is Daniel Gerber, Senior Human Rights Policy Officer. I'm afraid I'm working with People's Government, Detroit People's Government, Human Rights Policy Officer. We're here to liberate our people. And everything I've heard tonight, especially the one thing that the young lady said, made mention to, that no matter what group you belong to, what you believe in, we just need to come together. That's what's important. You can stay aligned with whatever, whoever you're with and your beliefs. But the important thing, as long as we're all headed down that same road, and as Comrade Bumani said, if you're not actively doing something and not just sitting around talking about it, you're not a revolutionary, you're a reformist. That's the fact. Revolutionaries get out and get it done. And you mentioned our brother Huey P. Newton, Malcolm X, all these young brothers. And I say young brothers because they met their demise at a young age, but they knew what was coming. They knew it, but they didn't falter. They stayed the course. We must stand up and rise up and get above this lackadaisical mentality that we're into. The other young lady mentioned about the petition that nobody really wanted to sign. Come on now. That is the hybrid warfare program that they have instilled in our minds, and we call it the white mind transfer. The white mind transfer. Wow. But what we're doing in Detroit, and now we're moving nationwide again, is we have a website out. It's called mypower.app. My Power.
What is
you
my
go there, read My Power. Mypower.app. That's Apple Paul Paul. My Power. Go to the website. Look it over. Just be careful when you enter My Power. Do www.mypower because they'll separate the letters. And you know, when you do enter a website, they all have to stay together. So be very careful, because then you won't be able to get in. But go to that website, look it over, and register, because we're all one people. Signed, registered, and agreed upon by, I can't think of the actual event that they had when they did it. But this is UN certified, United Nations. I don't believe in them as far as going to help us. But they have agreed that what our designation of the people we are, that's Afro descendants and indigenous. That's law, international law. It has to be abide by all nations. So let's follow up under that as we come together and claim your Afro descendants. You know, claim your heritage, because that's what we are. Everyone says there's something, they're black, they're this, they're that. I don't care what you say. I know what we need to do. That's what's important, what we need to do. So self-determination is key.
I'm going to cut you off, however. Like, we will have 2 or 3 minutes left. I definitely will promise to pick back up on you here briefly, but let me come. They're waving a hand at me. So let me go to Sister Mayat. Mayat, take your parting shot, and then I'll say a few words, and then we'll come right back, brother. So you hang on right there. Because you were saying something that's great. We want to go with a climactic partner like that. Go ahead, man. Talk to me.
Ashe. Y'all know I'm going to come from an education point of view because that's the first start to anything. You know what I mean? To even get our people that are not youth, you know what I mean, that are over the age of 18, trying to know a little bit about what's going on now and have seen, you know, what's going on. We have to educate them on their rights. We have to educate them on how to protect themselves and to protect their family, because a lot of us was robbed of the knowledge that we needed to push each generation, you know, further and further and further into what we have right now. So they have their agenda, you know, has been, you know, around for a while, you know what I mean? And it's affecting each generation in a different way, in a certain time period. But we've got to combat that with teaching them how to protect themselves, knowing their rights, informing them where we're going until we have a solid plan, until people's egos and all this other stuff die. You know, we're still going to be at this point. And a lot of us that are out of this whole, let's just show myself as a revolutionary type aspect, need to come together and actually come up with a solid plan and push it to the fullest. We can do our own independent work, but we've all got to be on the same path, doing, you know, pushing everything in the same direction and, you know, empowering our youth, teaching them about themselves, and also teaching them how to protect themselves in whatever environment they're in will combat a lot of this mess that's going on. You know what I mean? The older generation and also my generation need to be walking in the community, need to be talking to the youth, need to be educating, you know, on this, you know, on their level, so that they understand how to protect themselves and how to keep pushing the same agenda, you know, forward. So that's my perspective, and I just want everybody to be active, no matter what environment that you're in. Reach out to people around you and teach them the same knowledge that you have. You know, it doesn't matter where it doesn't matter if you're at work, doesn't matter if you are at church or wherever you're at. You know, have those subtle conversations and plant that seed into each one of our people and let them grow it. You know what I mean? We may not be able to see what's going to happen after we've planted that seed, but just know that you put it out there and you put it in their minds. And one day everything is going to click together and everything is going to bring to light what the truth really is and where we need to go. And hopefully they will push the agenda themselves in whatever community, whatever area, and whatever environment that they're in. So that's my parting shots for tonight.
I say, let me tell y'all, first of all, let me give honor and praise each one of you tonight on our show. Again, this is Baba Wutapa right here in Oklahoma City, along with the host with the most, Mayat Yubor. We are right here in Oklahoma City giving you what you need to hear. And at the same time, your ideas, your thoughts, and your opinions count. There are no right or wrongs here. And again, if I disagree with you, I disagree with you respectfully. I'm not going to call you out your name, and I definitely expect that you not to call me out mine, because intelligent people do it differently than what a bunch of buffooning animals do. So I want to say, like Brother Martin Luther King said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, Sandiate Ecola, excuse me, Ecola, I might be pronouncing his name wrong because that word kind of gets me every now and then, last name, but free at last, Brother Sandiate Ecola is free, released from prison after 49 years of incarceration. Everybody out there listening to the sound of my voice, listen to me carefully. This is your show. We are the host with the most. You're going to be giving it red, uncut funk when you come to this station. I don't give a doggone if you talk about high or short. If you're talking about something, if it's relevant to our cause and to our struggle, we want to listen to you. I mean, because I learn from everybody, and I'm sure that each one of us tonight has learned from everybody who said something here. That's why it is a diverse community we live in, diverse groups, diverse people, diverse organizations, not to hate and despise each other, but to come together and to unite as one. Be that one arm, be that one leg, be that one eye, be that untoe, be that unfoot, that one foot. What I'm trying to say, y'all, we have to build from a foundation that has many branches. And that's what we have today when we deal with our society in our world today. So let me say before I close out here, again, we have about 3 minutes left after I get out, because that's why I'm trying to rush the show. Please try to bear with me. Next week, we're going to be talking about Asada Shakur, who is right now in Cuba. She was also in that shootout with brother here, Brother Sandiata Ecola, as well as with Brother Malik Shakur, who died on the spot. Again, rest in peace, my brother, because you're not forgotten. We're going to make sure of that. And again, after we speak on this beautiful sister and her involvement in the Black Liberation Army and Black Panther Party at that time, we're also going to be talking a week after that. We're going to go to our sister Angela Davis, as you know, a very instrumental sure shot in the political party and a communist with the Black Panther Party at that time. Again, she was one of the sisters that were also tried in the debacle or the killing in the courthouse between trying to free George Jackson with his brother Jonathan Jackson and, again, Rochelle McGee, who, again, is still incarcerated after about 60 years in that regard. So, y'all, please bear with me. And then we're going to talk about our brother, as you know, was gunned down by a young Black man in Oakland, California. We're talking about Huey P. Newton. We're going to go back-to-back with those stories. It's time for us to recognize these very influential Black revolutionaries who made the cause important for us and gave us an opportunity to stand up to this wicked, no-good white supremacist government and let them know your Jim Crow laws will no longer affect us. Now we're going to take it lying down. You're not going to kill us anymore and be free. You take 1 hour, get ready. We're going to take 2 years. Bottom line. Okay? Somebody may not like that, but it's just going to be real now. We're tired of it. We believe in Second Amendment right to carry our weapons, and no longer you're going to make us feel bad. We're going to carry our weapons. I'd rather be caught with mine illegally on me than to be dead without one at all. So, again, y'all, if y'all got a parting shot for a show tonight, if y'all think y'all want to say something, again, as long as it's important, please call us up at area code 405-882-6478. That's 882-64. Excuse me, that's my phone number. What in the world am I doing? It's 405. Y'all got me so hyped tonight. Again, our number is area code 405-246-9089. So that's the call-in number if you want to get on the show, if you want to talk about whatever relevant ideas you have. Again, let's go back to your brother. Again, everybody, reach out and touch someone, love someone. Tell them tonight that you love them before you go to bed, because tomorrow may not be promised to you. A good night, everybody. So if you don't hear from us anymore, I want to go back to now, Brother Daniel. Hey, cut you off a few more minutes, brother.
Yes,
you got about a minute. So go ahead and talk to me.
Okay, I just wanted to say everything we're speaking on is based on human rights. Human rights. That's where we're at. Human rights. Our God-given rights. And self-determination is a way that we can put it into this immediately. You know, all people have the right of self-determination. By virtue of that right, they freely choose their political status and freely pursue their economic, social, and cultural development. That is supreme law in this country. If we just come together and stand and assert that right, just say, no more, we're asserting our right of self-determination, it's done. But I know there's a prelude to that, but we have to come together. We're having this, Detroit is where we're at right now. We already have given them a cease and desist order. They already know what's coming. But we need to build our capacity. We need people, when we go to Detroit, to come with us. Don't worry. Don't be concerned yourself about what they're going to do, but concern yourself about what they're going to do if we don't do something. They're already doing these things. So it's what we don't do is what affects us. What we do will affect us in a positive way. And
I
yield the floor.
I got to stop you right there, brother. We're getting ready to close off. Y'all, they gave me my signal. All right, y'all, thank y'all very much. Again, thank you to our host tonight. Y'all were very beautiful again, man. Love one another, man. And, hey, if you got a disagreement, man, you can settle it without being physically violent. What we can do, y'all, we got about 9 seconds. Please, y'all, tell somebody you love them tonight. And everybody, y'all, know y'all wired me up. I'm very inspired. Hope y'all can be with us on the next show, which is this coming Saturday, matter of fact, in 2 days. Shout out Shakur. Good night. I'm getting ready to be cut off. Be blessed, everybody. We're gone.
Ashay, be blessed.
Ashay.
Ashay.